Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible.
And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues, "With man, it is impossible," as we pick up in Mark chapter 10, verse 24. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
He said, "Children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." Now, as I pointed out, there are those who say the eye of the needle was a subgate in the main gate of the city when, after the gates were closed at night and a person would arrive at the city, they would not open the main gate lest there be enemy troops that would come pouring in. So there was this subgate that a person could dismount and come crawling through the subgate into the city. And that this subgate, they say, was called the eye of the needle. So when Jesus said it is easier for a camel to get through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven, Jesus was referring to this little subgate, how that they'd have to unload the camel and then guys would be pulling and guys would be pushing and squeezing and shoving and get that ornery beast through, you know, this little opening in the gate. But with a lot of sweat and effort, you could make it. No, that's not what Jesus is talking about. Whatever Jesus is talking about, it's an impossibility. There are always those men who would try to make salvation within the reach and grasp of struggling man. Work hard enough, try hard enough, be sincere enough, surely you can save yourself. No. Jesus is talking about an impossibility. For the disciples were astounded above measure. They were totally blown out at this point, astonished out of measure, and they said among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" You know, the rich aren't going to make it. Who in the world can be saved? And Jesus answered them and said, "With man, it's impossible." God, help us to realize that. Salvation with man is impossible. There is no way man can save himself. No matter how noble your efforts, how righteous your deeds, how faithful your walk, no man can save himself. With man, it is impossible. Jesus in the garden said, "Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me." If man can be saved by some other means, but with man it is impossible. But Jesus said, "But not with God, for with God all things are possible." As bad as you are, it's possible that God can save you. You're not beyond God's reach. You're beyond your own abilities, beyond other man's abilities, but not beyond God's abilities. And haven't we seen God work where men have given up? You know, there are some people, I've looked at them and said, it's impossible that they could ever be saved. They are so lost. And I've really given up on certain people. Absolutely given up. And no way are they ever going to be saved. But God saved them anyhow. In spite of the fact that I had really committed them and condemned them as impossibilities, God has so many glorious trophies of grace. Then Peter began to say to him, "Lord, we've left everything and followed you." This rich young ruler was seemingly unwilling to pay that price, but Peter said, "Lord, we did it. We left all to follow you." And Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no man that has left his house or his brothers or sisters or his father or his mother or his wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's. Now, it would appear that many of them, because of the Jewish culture being so strong, they're believing and receiving Christ as their Messiah, caused them to lose their inheritance, houses, homes, caused them to lose their family relationship as they were ostracized as heretics. And in many of the Jewish homes, they would hold a funeral service and consider that child or that person as dead who had received Jesus Christ as their Savior. And it would appear that with Paul the Apostle, it cost him his wife. And Jesus said, no man has left house or brothers or sisters, father, mother, wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. You may be persecuted, but you may have lost your brother, your sister, your mother, but you're going to gain in the family of God 100-fold. Now, there are some of you who your faith in Jesus Christ has caused a breach in your family. I had a wedding yesterday, and the young man who was getting married in the back room said, preach the gospel. He said, my mother told me if I ever mentioned Jesus Christ again, I wasn't welcomed at home anymore. And he said, she's here, so preach the gospel. But it cost that young man. And yet, in the family of God, that love, that bond, that relationship that we are brought into as we are made one in Christ within the family of God. I look around at all the brothers and sisters and all that we have here, and it's just glorious to realize that we are just one big family of God. And though there may have been an alienation from our natural blood relatives as the result of our commitment to Jesus Christ, yet we've come into such a broader family. I feel extremely fortunate that all of my immediate family love the Lord and serve Him. That's a blessing. I have cousins, though, that don't know the Lord, aunts and uncles that don't know the Lord. And you know, I'm much, much closer to all of you than I am to them. There is this gap between us. So many of them are in that social set, and I've got to be careful because they do listen to my tapes. They're wonderful people. But they just need Jesus. You know, until there is that bond in the faith of Christ, there is a division. There can't be that total unity. And so Jesus said, look, no one has left these things but what they're going to receive 100-fold. You're going to get persecution. Persecution from the family, yes. But in the world to come, eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. Why he threw that in here, I don't know. Now, they were in the way going up to Jerusalem. Now, you see, he's on the way. This young guy comes and kneels at him. They're still on the path. They're on their way towards Jerusalem. And Jesus went before them, and they were amazed as they followed. And they were afraid. And he took again the 12, and he began to tell them what things were going to happen to him. Now, they can see that he's more contemplative at this point, getting alone. It's obvious that there is this heaviness, and so they're frightened when they see the moods. And so he gathered them, and he began to tell them, now look, we're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the chief priests, into the scribes, and they're going to condemn him to death, and they're going to deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him and scourge him and shall spit upon him and shall kill him. And the third day he shall rise again. Now notice, he says that the scribes and the priests are going to condemn him to death, but deliver him to the Gentiles to do the job. The Gentiles will mock him. It was the Roman soldiers who put on the purple robe and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They will scourge him. It was the Roman soldiers that laid the 39 stripes on him. They shall spit upon him, which of course is recorded also, and they shall kill him. That is the Gentiles, the Roman soldiers. But the third day he will rise again. Now James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him saying, "Master, would you do us a favor?" And Jesus said, "What do you want?" And they said unto him, "Grant unto us that we may sit one at your right hand and the other at your left hand in your glory." And he said unto them, "You don't really know what you're asking. Can you drink of the cup that I'm going to drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" And they said unto him, "Oh, we can." And Jesus said unto them, "You will indeed drink of the cup that I drink of. Herod stretched forth his hand against the church, and he had James beheaded. He was one of the early martyrs. And with the baptism that I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give. It shall be given to them for whom it is prepared." God is already foreordained. God is already predestined. And so it will be given to those for whom it has been predestined. Now, you remember, just a couple of chapters ago, the disciples were arguing when they were on the path coming down from Caesarea Philippi as to who would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And when they came in the house, Jesus said, "What are you guys arguing about back there in the path?" Said, "Nothing, you know." They were afraid to tell him. They were silent. They held their peace because they were afraid to tell him we've been arguing about who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom. But here old James and John, they come up to the Lord now and, you know, said, "Lord, would you do us a favor? We want to be one on your right hand and the other on the left." So they're still seeking that prominence, that position of prominence. Jesus said, "Look, you're going to go through the fire. You're going to drink the cup. You will be baptized of the baptism whereof I am baptized. But to grant this favor is something that has already been granted. The foreordained plan of God shall stand." Now, when the other 10 heard it, they were very displeased with James and John. Oh, so typical. This righteous indignation, you know, and yet all of them were thinking the same thing. But Jesus called them to him, and he said unto them, "You know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you." Now the Gentiles, the heathen, they love the position of authority and power and ruling over people. Jesus said, "It shall not be among you." The kingdom of God is different from the kingdom of man. For in the kingdom of God, whoever of you will be the chief shall be the servant of all. Whoever would be great among you, let him become your servant. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so again, Jesus is teaching the importance. If you want to be a ruler, if you want to be chief, if you want to be the head, then learn to be the servant. The path of greatness is through service. It is important that I realize that as I am serving man, I am actually serving God. I do it in the name of the Lord. I do it as unto the Lord. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. And you need to realize that in serving the Lord, that constitutes serving man, because that's what the Lord requires you to do as his servant. And so the path of greatness is the path of humility, learning to be the servant. Now they came to Jericho, and of course he has now crossed over Jordan, come into Jericho, and he's on the last hitch, the last 20 miles up to Jerusalem. They came to Jericho, and as they were going out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people with them, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the highway begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, no doubt he could hear the crowds going by. You know, the blind people are very perceptive from an audible sense. Their auditory sensory perception is extremely high because they can't see. They develop the capacities of listening and discerning by listening. And hearing all the people, he's probably saying, what's happening? Who's going? What's going on? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth is going by. And old Bartimaeus thought, man, this is my chance. And he began to cry out, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many that were around him said, shut up. But he thought, this is my only chance. And he cried even louder. And Jesus stood still. And he said, call him to me. And so the people said, be of good comfort, rise, for he's calling for you. And he, casting away his garment, some say that this garment was the typical garment of the beggar. It was sort of the badge of the beggar. But he threw it away because he knew that he wouldn't have to be begging anymore. In faith, he knew once he got to Jesus, it was going to all be over. He'd be able to see. His life would be changed. And so casting away his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, what would you like me to do for you? And he said, Lord, I would like to receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. Maybe he saw him throw the garment away. Saw the faith of this man. Saw the faith in his heart. He said, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. And immediately he was able to see, and he followed Jesus along the path. Beautiful, beautiful story. So much can be drawn from it as far as spiritual allegories, but that isn't really my bag. Now, when they came near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and to Bethany, they were on the Mount of Olives. He sent forth two of his disciples, and he said unto them, go over into the village, and as soon as you're entered into it, you're going to find a colt that is tied, whereon never a man has sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man says unto you, why are you doing this? Just tell them that the Lord has need of him, and immediately they'll let him come. And so they went their way, and they found the colt tied by the door outside of the place where the two streets met, and they untied him. And certain of those that were standing there said unto them, what are you doing untying that colt? And they said unto them, as Jesus had commanded, that the Lord needs him. And so they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus, and they cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the path. And others cut down branches off of the trees, and they strewed them in the path. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked round about upon all of the things, it was now eventide. And so he returned to Bethany with the 12. So this is on a Sunday. And Jesus makes his entrance into Jerusalem riding the colt. Matthew's gospel and Luke's gospel gives us more details. They tell how the Pharisees objected to the cries of the disciples, saying that it was blasphemous because they were acknowledging him as the Messiah. This is the first time Jesus had allowed any public proclamation of himself as the Messiah. They were crying forth a psalm that was definitely a prophetic psalm of the Messiah, Psalm 118. Behold, the stone that was set of naught of you builders, the same has become the chief cornerstone. This is marvelous. It is the work of God. It's marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. This is Psalm 118, and they are quoting from this messianic psalm. And so that is why the Pharisees said, Lord, you better rebuke them. You better stop them. That's blasphemy. And Jesus said, I'll tell you the truth. If I would stop them, these very stones would start crying out.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Mark on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Mark 10 through 11 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
Now may the Lord be with you and keep you in his loving grace, watching over you, guiding you, protecting you. May you be enriched in Christ Jesus in all things. And may your understanding of God's love be increased day by day as you begin to fathom the depths, experience the heights of God's love and grace and mercies towards you, through Jesus, our Lord.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
Have you ever had a friend who's not a believer and they ask you a question about the Bible and you're thrilled? Finally, they want to know about God, but then you go blank because you can't remember the scripture that would answer their very question? You're not alone. It happens to me all the time, and I think if only I had a quick scripture reference that would help me right then and there, that would be perfect. Well, guess what I found? Pastor Chuck's Old and New Testament study guides are available to download as ebooks instantly to your phone or mobile device. Now, whenever you need to find the meaning to a scripture reference quickly, you can. Pastor Chuck has written great little Bible commentaries to help anyone come to a better understanding of God's Word. To find out more and to read a book preview, visit thewordfortoday.org and click on the link to download the Old and New Testament study guides by Chuck Smith. Or if you would like to order these books in print, call The Word for Today at 800-272-9673.